Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lilydale Radio. I'm Colleen van der Zijden, and this is Embracing Your Essence, the name of the show. I am a registered medium at Lilydale Assembly, as well as a certified life coach. And every week, we have a little topic of discussion, and then I usually take some callers, and I do plan to do that tonight, so thank you. If you're already called in, or if you will be calling in shortly. And as you know, next week is Christmas, and it's been quite the week here in my house, I can tell you that. I started decorating the house, oh gosh, maybe a week and a half ago or so. And, you know, you put the tree up, and then the next day you notice it's tilting a lot. So we, you know, push the tree back a little bit, try to make it nice. And then the next thing, I hung out lights outside. Now, I don't know what's going on with me this year, but for whatever reason, I'm having problem with my lights, my Christmas lights. The first thing started when my little cat, I have three cats, and this is a little calico cat. She's almost 2 years old, and she's a very active cat, And I came home from the weekend. I was gone because I was performing Nutcracker Ballet down in Erie, Pennsylvania. I was playing the violin, not doing the ballet dancing itself, but playing the violin. So I came back and I saw my tree. Half of the lights were out, and I thought, oh, that's kind of strange. Hi, Charlotte. Thanks for joining us. You're on Facebook. So lovely. So I thought, well, that's kind of strange. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, some of the lights came unplugged, you know. So I go over there and I move some of the lights, and there's this big popping sound and a flash. Apparently, the little cat had chewed through the light strands on my tree. So now I'm trying to take this light strand off, which of course is plugged into many other strands. So I'm trying to take it off without taking too many ornaments off the tree. So eventually I've gotten to the point now where most of the ornaments are off the tree. I started to put new lights on, and don't you know, those lights didn't work either. They started working, and then as soon as I put them on the tree, they stopped working. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. So I take those back off and start over. This is how my last few days have gone, just putting lights on, taking them off, putting lights on, taking them off. I have no idea what this means, but it's definitely interesting. So my daughter is home from college now, so she's decorating, putting some garland up in some different places. So it'll be pretty when I leave this studio place where I am right now with you guys. Hi, Susan. Oh, I bet you it's so cold in Maine. It's about 30 degrees, 27 degrees here, and it is just... oh, it's just cold. But I did see the sun today, so that was very exciting. So I'm not going to spend too much more time telling you about my problems with my lighting situation, but it really does make me wonder, you know, what that's all about. Because I do want to get to my topic of the day, so I have time to take callers. And we are going to talk today about trusting the process of life, and which is interesting given my light situation. We're going to talk about this, and it's been something I've been thinking about talking about for quite some time now, actually a few weeks, because we all have struggles, problems, issues, concerns, all of those things on our path. We all have things that pop up. And sometimes we start to wonder, what is going on? Why is this happening? You know, what does this mean? We start questioning these things. And it seems like sometimes life is full of struggles, obstacles, challenges all the time. Hello, hello to you. Aloha, Jay. And we have sometimes big situations that are just huge, and sometimes we have small situations. And it seems like problems are the only thing that's happening in our lives at times. And I've noticed, I've talked to quite a few people in the last few weeks, but I'm noticing a lot of people are talking about the uncertainty of what's happening in their lives. And there's uncertainty with all sorts of things. And what does it mean with trusting the process of life? What that means is that we're going to check in with recognizing the problems we have, but also realizing that whatever is happening is there for our highest and best, that it's there to show us more about ourselves, to show us different ways we can handle our problems by relying on our own inner strengths. And if we know who we are, so much easier to handle life problems, as well as trust that the process of life is going to work the way it's supposed to work. I know it kind of sounds like, you know, we're kind of giving up control, and in a sense we are, because we're trusting that spirit, God, whatever, is going to be there for us, is going to help us with our problems, but we're also trusting that whatever is happening is supposed to be. Now, right now, it's kind of interesting. I have a sister who lives in Florida, and she had set up to buy a new house, and, you know, her house was being sold and all of this stuff. Well, right before the closing date, it all fell through. And it affected five families. It was quite impressive. It affected five families. But she was really good about it. You know, even though she'd sold most of her furniture because she was downsizing and moving into a smaller house, even though she'd sold it, she thought, well, you know what? I'll just do what I can and I'll just keep moving forward. And she was trusting what was going to happen. And interestingly, my mother is also moving into an apartment. And she had picked out an apartment. It was all set. But then she was on a list for an apartment in another building. So she signed the lease for the first place. And then don't you know, the other place opened up. So where she was going to move, that fell through basically. And now she's moving into a different place. So that was interesting. Both of them handling it very well, of course. I have a friend who's going through some relationship issues. I was talking to her the other day through email. And she was really frustrated and angry about the things that were happening. And she was still in the questioning phase. You know, what should she be doing? My daughter, like I told you, is home from school. She's in graduate school. And she's had a couple of struggles in the past couple of days as well. When she was in undergraduate school, she had an assistantship and she loved her boss, wonderful person. The boss was there for a little bit and then left and then went to a different position in a different school. And my daughter didn't have as much fun with her assistantship as she used to have. So that was disturbing to her, especially when it happened again at her assistantship that she has currently. So she just got an email from her boss saying that person is actually leaving in the middle of January. And so my daughter started going crazy about this. And so she gets a little stressed out. So she's not handling it quite as well either. I will talk about her a little bit more later. I have another friend who's questioning if he should take a different job. He got an offer for a job, but he's not sure. He goes back and forth. Whenever we have something going on, good or bad, any life challenges, and you understand what life challenges are, so I'm not going to explain them any further, but you understand, what do we do? How do we react? How do we respond to our life issues? Do we trust that the process of life is going to work out the way it should work out? Not necessarily the way we want it to work out, but the way it's supposed to work out. That takes a lot of trust in yourself to move into that place, to truly believe that whatever is happening is supposed to be happening, especially when it's something more difficult. So when we have our life struggles, what's happening is we're being presented with opportunities to learn more about ourselves, to strengthen our inner soul, our inner being again. And we get to, when we do that, we kind of develop ideas, thoughts, belief systems that help us process whatever is happening. Our path is a path of self-discovery. Everything that's happening is bringing us back to ourselves. And I've noticed that whenever I have problems, that is the best way for me to learn about myself. I can start to look at my emotions and see how I'm reacting, which will take me someplace else. Because when we get tied to those emotions, we get a little bit out of balance. We don't feel like ourselves anymore. And you know that when we get emotional about something, we're not thinking clearly. So when we have those extreme emotions, we need to step back from them and use those emotions as a guide to find out about ourselves. Whenever I have something that comes up, hi, Joanne, so nice to see you. Hi, Maggie. So nice to see everybody who's watching on Facebook and listening on Blog Talk Radio. I do want to interject for just a moment before I get back to our emotions and things that we are talking tonight. This is Lilydale Radio. The name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. I'm Colleen van der Zijden. I'm a registered medium at Lilydale and a certified life coach. And my passion is to help people basically handle their problems and create the life they want to have. Hi, Mary. Love my Christmas tree earrings. Thanks. I like them too. They're kind of pretty. So what we're going to talk about tonight is how to handle life, basically. How do we trust that the process of life is going to work for us, for our best and for our highest? How do we move into that state where we can trust? And over my years of being on the spiritual path, and I woke up in about the year 2000, and over my years, I have been able to move into this state of trusting that whatever is happening is for my highest and best. And that does not mean that I don't react emotionally when something happens around me, okay? I will react as a normal person does. I don't want to make it sound like, oh, I have all the answers. I don't. I just keep going. And that's the only thing we can do. And so as I've learned about myself and recognized that I do have a power within myself that helps me handle my issues and problems, I've realized that the emotions that I experience do lead me to where I need to go. My emotions lead me to what I need to learn about myself. We react to every single thing that happens in our lives with emotion. Most of us, there are probably some who don't, but most of us do. We react emotionally to everything that's happening, whether it's a big or a small. And what we want to do as we recognize the emotions is to use them as a guide, but also realize we can shift and get out of attachment to the emotions. We can get out of that attachment. But to recognize the power that we can acknowledge that we have with our emotions is to also start with the premise that we are totally responsible for how we feel. If we understand that we are responsible for how we feel when something happens, we recognize we're the only ones that's going to change whatever is happening and how we're experiencing our lives. Nothing else, no one else is responsible for our feelings. It's just the way it is. Now, last year, I was selling a house, which is kind of ironic since my sister was having an issue with her house and my mom was having one with her apartment. But I was selling a house. I lived in this big, gigantic, I call it the castle. I lived in a castle. It was huge, way too expensive. So I wanted to get out of this house and move to a new house. So we had an offer on the castle and everything was great. I moved into the new house a few days earlier than we had planned, a few days before the closing, because it would be easier to just start moving things over and everything. So the day of the closing, the lawyer for the buyers of the castle didn't show up for the closing. Nobody came for the closing. Now, I didn't know this at the time. I found out later on. And so I thought the house was closed. Everything was good. We were moving forward. I'd be able to buy my new house, all that stuff. But no, the lawyer didn't show up. The house didn't close. It turned out the buyers of the castle, the husband was buying the castle. His wife had a house that was not sold. He had been pre-approved for the loan. Everything was good. Everything was good to go. But then whoever pre-approved the loan decided they wouldn't give him the money because his wife still had a house. And so her house was in the process of being sold, but that also wasn't working out. So here I am. I'm in my new house. I'm paying rent a day. Every single day I'm paying rent, basically. And everything fell through. So, of course, I went into a bit of a panic because I didn't want to move back to the castle. I didn't want to have to be responsible for the cost of that house. I had, moved almost everything over to the new house. So everything kind of had to stall out. Everything had to stop. And of course, wouldn't you know, this was right at the beginning of Lilydale season. So, once season starts, I can't do anything else but readings anyway. So I realized I had moved into a state of fear. I had moved into the state of fear that would I have to move back? Would I have to do this? Would I have to do that? The fear moved me into the negative part of what if this happens? What if they don't get the loan approved? What if this? What if that? And it was all negative stuff. Fortunately, I recognized that I was trying to control a situation that I could not control. I could not control the external. I couldn't make them buy the house. I couldn't make their other house sell. I couldn't do anything to fix it, to change the external situation. The only thing I could change was what was going on in my head. That was the only thing I could change. And I did not want to stay in that negative place. I did not want to stay in the fear-based thoughts that were leading me just to a horrible place. And I recognized I'd become also attached to the outcome. I had become attached and wanted it to come out my way. So I had to, at that moment, consciously step into trusting that whatever happened is supposed to happen, that whatever happened is what I needed to experience to further my path as to who I am as a person and all of that. Even if the sale had fallen through, the castle totally had fallen through, and I had to move back, I still had a place to live. There would be benefits of it. I might not be happy about it, but there are benefits, okay? So it's not like I lost everything. But I had to move into that trusting that it was going to be okay. I had to trust the process of life. I had to trust the process of the experience. There was no point in worrying over it because I couldn't do anything about it. So I had to trust that it was going to work. And in the long run, it did work. It did take a little bit more time, and it cost me a couple more $1,000, but it worked, all good, everything wonderful. So because over the years, since I woke up in 2000, over the years, I have practiced paying attention to when I have a reaction to something so that I realize that if I want to feel better, I have to change it. And when I do that, that helps me stay in that process of trusting that my path is correct, that it's the way it's supposed to be. So what I always tell people to do when we're talking about this, because there are always people who argue with me over some of these things. I was just filming a TV show on Saturday, and the host of the show asked me if people argue with me about some of my ideas. And I said, yes, they do, you know, because they haven't recognized yet the power they have within themselves to change how they're experiencing their lives. So if they can recognize that, it's a little bit easier. But it's so quick and easy and habitual for many of us to just blame our external situations for everything that's going on, not recognizing we do have the power to change what's happening. So I tell people to practice starting small. Start with little things first. Don't all of a sudden think you're going to fix, you know, everything that's wrong in your life. You're not going to be able to do that. But so say you're in the store and you have a rude sales clerk, and she's impatient, she's just not very friendly, and you were in a good mood, you were there, you were checking out, and everything was great, you felt awesome, and now you're starting to feel a little bit irritated because no matter what you say to her, you can't seem to get her in a better mood. She seems to snap at you, and you're starting to take it a little bit personally, and she's gotten so unfriendly, you think she's unfriendly to you, that you're getting sucked into that emotion, and you're getting sucked into her negative emotion. And what happens? We want to respond the exact same way that somebody treats us, don't we? And it's a reaction. It's not a conscious choice. It's a reaction. So we want to do that so we can start to feel ourselves getting a little bit off because we're with somebody who's kind of obnoxious. This is a perfect opportunity to step back and learn about yourself, to step back and look at it from a bit of detachment and say, okay, yes, she's obviously in a bad mood. What's happening? Why do I feel upset by this? Do I just don't like it? Is it that I feel like she's being mean to me on purpose? Does it feel to me like you know, I've done something wrong? You know, are you starting to take responsibility for how she's feeling? Those kinds of things. Hi, Michelle, so nice to see you, and Kim too. And you start to notice how you're reacting, how you're responding to this situation. You might be quick to judge, and you might say to yourself, oh man, she's such a, you know, and throw a name in there, or she's so horrible, I can't believe this. Whoops. And then you could take it even further in your head, because that's what we do, and say, what is wrong with this place? And you might like start to generalize and make the whole store into something bad when really something's going on. Are you blaming her for whatever reason? Are you coming up with assumptions? Well, she's like that because she's this kind of person, and she believes this, and this is, you know, has to be true. Are you blaming somebody else? So whenever you have an emotional reaction, emotional trigger, look at what's happening and find out why you're responding that way. Now, of course, I do want to say this, and I always, always, always say this, and just going to drill this in everybody's head, that if something horrible happens, okay, somebody dies, something horrible happens, that's not the kind of emotion I'm talking about right now, okay? You've got to experience those, and then you will process and move on. You have to experience whatever's happening in your life. But for these little things, you know, you practice with the little things, and then when the big things come, it's easier for you to draw on that power you have in yourself to handle it, to understand where your emotions are coming from and what it means. So that's why I harp on this. I just harp on it all the time. So as you're dealing with, say, this, you know, rude clerk, you start to become aware of yourself, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. You start to become aware. And you might start to recognize that her behavior has nothing to do with you, except that it's helping you learn about yourself. So even that simple adjustment in your thought can keep you from getting sucked into her bad day. So I always tell people to make a conscious decision on how you're going to react. So just take a breath, a stop. Stop and just think for a minute. Choose your reaction. You know, whenever somebody treats me poorly, they're not very nice, then, you know, I try not to take it personally, of course, as best I can. But making that conscious choice to be nice, I try to raise them up. I try to make them happier. I try to make a joke or whatever I can do to make them feel better. So if I come across somebody like that, I will go out of my way to do whatever I can to make them feel better. If it doesn't work, you know, they're stuck where they're stuck. I'm just stay nice and then just move on, send them a little blessing later. So, you know, they can move on from whatever's happening. Something I also like to do is to play a little mind game with myself when something is happening like that. And ask myself, why would this rude sales clerk be so nasty? Why is she like this? What could have happened in her life to cause her to be like this? Maybe she went to the doctors, had a bad result on a medical test. Maybe her son is off partying and he's been partying all night long and he hasn't come home yet. And she's very worried about that. Maybe she's sick and she can't afford to stay home. And so she had to go to work, but she's not feeling well. You know, she's just physically not feeling well. So what you can do is you can reframe her behavior and so that it's more acceptable to you, basically. You're making this situation, in a way, more meaningful, something, looking into it at a deeper level. And it'll help you detach from the emotion. It'll help you detach from taking things personally. Whatever you make up for the meaning of why she is the way she is doesn't have to be true. It just has to be strong enough for you to look at her in a different light, in a loving light, in a kinder light. Because what will happen is if you can recognize that whatever's happening with her is something that's her problem, it's her issue, and yes, she may be having a bad day, and yes, it could be affecting you, but if you can recognize what could be happening, you can move into kindness, empathy, love, and compassion. And then you can treat her with that love and compassion that could totally change her experience of life at that moment. You could totally shift how she's experiencing life. And that will help you. So you won't be joining in with the negativity, you'll be detaching and you'll be choosing a positive response. And when you do that, you feel better. You have now taken control of how you're feeling, how your emotions are, rather than just habitually reacting and all of those things. You're going to stop and think and make a conscious choice as to how you're going to respond. When I've done this, it's helped me so much. And it does help me move into trusting that the process of life is the way it is. I heard a friend of mine say once that everything is all about her. And she was saying it jokingly, but not jokingly, because everything is about each of us individually. The experiences we're having are about us. You know, we're the soloist in our own show here. And yes, we have to interact with other people, but at the same time, that's what we do. We're the soloist. We do what we're supposed to do so we can learn. We are here to live to our highest and best. And as we do that, we do move into that trusting. So it's a very simple process to be able to acknowledge how much your emotions can help you grow as a person to move into that trusting the process of life. So whenever you become a little bit off balance, then just find out what's happening and how you can learn something about yourself as you're going. It can be this question, what can I learn about myself? Can be revolutionary and it can be life-changing. It does take a certain kind of person to be able to follow through on this, to be able to be strong enough to detach from what's happening around you. And it does take practice. This is not a magical, instantaneous solution to life's issues. It's something, but if you're aware of it, the awareness, as they say, is always number one, isn't it? But once you're aware, you'll be able to make those different choices. And it will help you give the power to yourself and to help other people too. You'll acknowledge the responsibility you have in creating your life and how you want to experience it. Some people feel they have nothing to learn, that they can't change and they shouldn't have to. It's everybody else's fault and blah, 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 blah. And if they believe that, then nothing will change and they will continue to be miserable. And that's okay. They can be miserable in their lives. You don't have to join them. I will take a little commercial break for a minute to let you know who I am and what's going on in case you're just joining in. But this is Lilydale Radio. The name of the show is called Embracing Your Essence. I'm Colleen Vanderzijn, a registered medium at Lilydale, as well as a certified life coach. And I love to help people with their problems. That is my passion. That is I've practiced it so much on myself and my clients and other radio shows and things like that, that it's just something I really enjoy doing, empowering people to make different choices. I do want to tell you that I've been updating my website. Now, the quick link is psychicmediumcolleen.com, or be brave and do Colleen. VanderZijden.com, just the way it sounds, VanderZijden, ColleenVanderZijden.com, because I've got a new free download coming. If it's not there yet, it will be soon, and it is going to be called The 3 Keys to Happiness, and you can download that for free, so that's there. And I've made some other changes. We're still working on it. I have a wonderful website person who's helping me, so we're still making some changes, but if you're interested in that, you might You can go there and check it out. And I do want to mention LilydaleAssembly.org, the Lilydale Assembly website as well. We will be having some winter, spring workshops are coming, and workshops, of course, next summer. And they'll be coming out soon, so you'll be able to see what's going on. So I do want to mention that as well. Now, what else do we have to talk about? Oh, yes. Now, life. I'm going back to my life. I will take callers. Don't you worry. I have a lot to say about this topic, though, because there is so much to be learned in life. And I do want to make life as fulfilling for other people as possible. Of course, I can't fix your problems. Sometimes I can't fix my problems. So I want to, you know, just give you the strategies and things that we can do. So some ideas, I I'm a how-to person. I want to make sure that you understand the way to shift out of the negative fear-based emotions that we all experience that come up because of our life situations, our life problems, life challenges. We have to change our mindset. We have to believe we are responsible for ourselves and what we're feeling. I just want to look at my Facebook messages for just a moment here. Hi, Debbie. Michelle, I find it hard at the end of the day to shake off that negative energy from shopping or driving. I started meditating at night. That helps. Yes. Yes. And I tell you, I could go on and on and on about so many different strategies and techniques that help people. And recognizing, too, the negative energy, because, you know, as we wake up in the morning and sometimes we feel great, you know, we feel wonderful, and then we go through the day and it's just like things start piling on us. And after a while, we get tired. And, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock, we just start, we kind of start dipping in our energy a little bit. And so it's harder for us to shake off those negative emotions and the negative energy if we're tired. So understanding yourself and when you're tired, just like Michelle does, perfect solution, is to do a little meditation to just kind of get your energy back so that you can be back to yourself. You're touching in, consciously touching in with yourself. And that, again, will strengthen your power so you can handle whatever's happening in your lives. It is unfortunate that life can't be easier. I actually had a client contact me and wanted to know why she would have chosen such a hard life. And that came about because I had said that we choose to experience certain problems in our lives. And I believe this is something we do before we come here in our physical lifetime. We choose what we want to experience. We choose the lessons we want to learn this time, because when we're on the other side before we come here, we have such a broader perspective that we think, we can handle it. We forget. And then we move into the human life and we go, whoa, what was I thinking with that one? Not everybody believes that, but that's my belief system. So I'll share as I do. Debbie's saying she practices mindfulness that is very similar to this. Yes. Paying attention to what you're doing, how you're reacting, what you're thinking. Everything takes you back to you, who you really are. And the more you understand yourself, the easier it is to trust the process of life. See, there's a connection to all the stuff I do. So if we can trust it, we get out of those emotional problems that can drag us down sometimes. Susan, have you taped a relaxation tape? You mean, have I done one myself? My voice would be great. You know. I'm going to digress for just a moment to talk to Susan. I did a meditation CD a long time ago, different kinds of meditations, and I just got rid of all of them. They're all gone now. I gave them out with my readings for free for a couple of summers and stuff, and I've been thinking about doing another one, but I'm working right now on an online course that will be coming out in the early 2019, and maybe I'll think of that and add a meditation to that, maybe a free download. Wouldn't that be fun? Good idea. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget, because you know I don't have memory. Free download meditation. I used to do voiceovers for TV and radio. I used to do that, so that was kind of fun. So Dolores, my family dog passed away yesterday. We'd like to know that she is happy. Okay, I'm going to come back to you, Dolores. I'm going to write your name down so I don't forget you either. I'm going to come back. We'll talk about that too. Okay. So I'm going to get back and wrap this up so I can take some callers because I don't like to talk forever. You know, that's kind of rude, really. But some ideas of what you can do, some thoughts that can help you to move out of problems. My daughter's going through some issues that I was telling you earlier about her boss leaving. And now she's freaking out and she's all stressed out. I know I told her that when I was if I had been her age and this stuff happened, I would freak out too because we are both control freaks. That's what we were. Thank God I'm older now so I can help her and I'm not that way as much. Okay. And so some of the things I said to her is one of these phrases. I always come back to these phrases that have helped me. And you just take, if it makes sense to you, take one of them and use it. But I always said, everything works out perfectly. And I did that for years, just saying that whenever a problem came up, everything works out perfectly. Because what do? We go into the negative. We think something's going to happen. And now if we just trust that everything's going to work out perfectly, then we're fine. And everything will work the way it's supposed to. Something else you can do is there are no problems, only opportunities. So I did that for a long time, too. You know, I'll pick up a phrase, and I'll just hold on to it. And anytime something happens, I'll just say it. And it brings me back to myself again, and it gets me out of my worried head. So there are no problems, only opportunities. Everything works out perfectly. Dr. Neil Zepkowski, who is now the president of Lilydale Assembly, I heard him say once that everything is a blessing. And that is quite a shift. Sometimes, isn't it, to think about that whatever is happening is a blessing. We may not know what the blessing is. You know, we may not know for a while, or we may never know, or we might be able to figure one out. So if we can recognize that everything is a blessing, again, taking us back to who we are. Something else I also used was things are always working out for me. And my daughter will always say that back to me when something happens. Well, things are always working out for us. Things are always working out for us. So these things help too. So we have Michelle is saying, my son-in-law passed in October. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear this, Michelle. Oh, and Dolores losing her dog. I mean, there's just so much. You know, our tragedies and problems do not stop for the Christmas season. They just don't. And I talked about that, I don't know, last week or the week before. You know, how we just have to keep going and do the best we can. Michelle, I made a note, so I will try to get to you as well. So, well, I just want to wrap this up. Well, I keep talking. I have so many things to say. You know, when I was talking to my friend about her relationship ending, I said, you know, you've got to look at the emotions and figure out what you've got to learn. For her, she was angry because she had done the best she could to help him, to be there for him. And she was at his house all the time, helping him with some situations he was experiencing. And she was angry because she felt like she had wasted her time. But she also knew she had done her best. She did the best she could. And because of that, it helped her release the guilt that she should have or could have done more to help him with his problems. Even some of the things her partner did that were very hurtful to her, she could feel the anger, but then also recognize she was standing in her power because she was not going to allow him to affect her anymore like that. So you can learn so much from your emotions. You can learn from what's going on and listen to your inner self. Hi, Mark. Always move forward. You know, that's a great phrase. Always move forward. Thank you, Mark, for sharing that. That is a perfect phrase. I do want to talk about grief again, and I know I did this last week, so if you watch regularly, and I'm not going to say the same things, though, because more thoughts keep coming into my head. I have a feeling Spirit is getting me ready to somehow do something with grief at a deeper level. Because things keep coming up about grief, like my free download that's going to be on my website, The Three Keys to Happiness, I have a special side note on grief on there as well. And I talked about it last week, and I'm going to talk about it again for just a moment. We have grief with our losses, okay? You know, losing people, jobs, animals, situations, whatever it could be, our health. Grief will come up. And grief is important to experience. Again, I'll harp on that for a second. But my belief is that grief, this is a new belief, so we'll see if I believe this next week, is that grief is taking us to a higher vibration. Because what happens when we're having grief, think about this for just a moment with me, is we get rid of some stuff. We just get rid of stuff. We have to go inside to our soul being. It takes us to the place of who we truly are inside. It strips away some of the things around us, you know, sometimes physical things, you know, sometimes it strips away the emotions. Sometimes it strips away the ways we protect ourselves to keep ourselves safe from being hurt. It strips it away because we have to feel those emotions. Oh my goodness, yes. Cindy, relationship, okay. And Sean, my mom and dad both passed. The season is hard. It is, isn't it? It is so hard when we've had loss and we're into the Christmas season. Yes. So I'll go back for a minute. I'm sorry. I keep going back. This grief takes us to our core. And it's important to realize this. It's actually raising our vibration because it is taking us to our true essence. It's taking us to where we are and where we are truly connected to the greater power, the universal energy, the God energy, the spirit energy, whatever you want to call that energy. The losses can be good for us to release those things that are in our way, that are stopping us from moving on. Now, of course, yes, again, the loss of a person is a different thing. So never misread what I'm saying with this. A loss of a person is different. You have to move through it. I will always say this. You have to move through it. In some ways, I think it helps that I'm a medium because I know they're not gone. And I know that 1,000,000%. I know it. I know they're right here with us still to this very day. So it's not as painful in a sense. Not that I won't cry if I've lost somebody, and it'll take me a year or two to get over a very serious loss as well. But I think that can help. Other losses, you know, the ones that aren't that profound, can be really good for us to release some things. And if you can shift your belief system about loss and grief and recognize it's taking you to a higher place. I know some people won't make it to the higher place. They won't be able to get there. I've had some clients who have had so many losses. You know, I had one who came in and lost something like 8 or 12 people in the space of like 6 months. I don't know how she was even moving and standing, you know. And I was just, oh my God, I was just like in the emotion with her. Yes, and Marcus saying those in spirit are just a thought away. And that is so true. And all you have to do to have them be with you is to think about them, to talk about them, you know. And I know our humanness, we want to feel them and all of that. And I'm with you on that. But that doesn't mean we're going to have it. But the grief is going to take us back to learning about ourselves. I know when my brother was ill, and he was ill for a bit of time, during that time, I got to watch some interesting things happen. Some people were sending my mom money to help her because she didn't have much money then. And that was really appreciated. And I got to see people's compassion in action, you know. And so that helped me recognize the love that was shown to us during this very difficult time. We got to recognize what is important to us, the people around us who are still here. We got to expand our own love and our own kindness. And we also got to realize that we were there for each other. We were there supporting each other. And after he passed, it was important for us to recognize the good things in life that we had experienced. Yes, it was horrible. He was only 15 when he was diagnosed and died right after he turned 16. And so it was, you know, it was not a pleasant situation in any way whatsoever. But we had so many cool things happen that we received messages from him, and that was before I was a medium. And so we knew he was still there. So it's all good. So anyway, I really do have to wrap up. I just get going, and you guys have so many good questions. Just remember, if you have problems, that behind every emotion is an insight. Something that would be very important for you to learn about you. And that will take you into trusting the process. Okay, Michelle, my son-in-law was in a very tragic car accident and left behind a wife and a 2-year-old daughter. Okay, Michelle, I'm going to talk to you for just a moment here because I am getting some impressions in my body. And when I touch in with spirit, I do feel things in my body. And I don't want to be graphic or anything like this. But if you could just message me the answer and just tell me if it was I know you said it was a tragic car accident, but I want to know about the amount of impact, because I'm feeling a very heavy impact, a very big impact. The other thing to do, we can have people call in. I do have a couple callers I see waiting. The number to call in is 818-739-8818. You can call in for pretty much anything you want. I just chat as I do, and I will talk about whatever I can to help you. And Dolores, I'm going to come back to you for just a minute, too, because maybe Michelle can call in or give me the answer to that question. Dolores, was your dog? I just got like this huggy feeling from a dog. Was your dog like a hugger? I know that sounds really strange, but maybe it's not, because I just get of, I want to hug. I just want to hug the dog, and the dog feels so sweet. I know it's kind of a strange way to describe the dog, but not to me. And I just feel such a sweetness here, and I just want to hug the dog. And it is interesting. I had a dog pass, and the dog came to me in the nighttime as a dream, but it was really a visitation because I can still remember the details to this day. Okay, so Dolores, you're saying your dog was a hugger? I mean, literally like this. I want to be hugging. Did you hug the dog? I mean, and did the dog, like, hug you back? Okay, good. That makes sense to me. Good. I'm glad you understand what I'm saying, because this is what I want to do. I want to be hugging the dog. And it's like my baby. Okay, Michelle's answering me too. Okay, excellent. It feels like my baby. I'm talking about the dog, just so everybody knows. It feels like my baby. I just want to, I want to kiss and everything. And so I have to say, I'm getting a message from the dog. I know that may be weird, but it's not. Because I want to tell you how much the dog loves you. And I want to tell you, that was a fun dog. That was a fun dog. And he very much enjoyed everybody, because everybody treated him so well, and even with the hard decision and everything, it was, I just keep wanting to pet. So there's so much here with this, and it's beautiful. 16, yes. And even though it's a hard decision, and even though he's older, it's still this. Thank God you're watching so you can see what I'm doing, because sometimes, you know, I'm on a phone reading. I can't, you know, give you everything that I'm feeling. And it's just beautiful. It is absolutely beautiful. You have a picture out of the dog right now, do you? I want a picture of the dog out. I feel like I have a, I don't know. It's, you know, like you put a picture out of your kids, you know. I've got a picture of the dog out. That's what I want to say. So, Michelle, I'm going to come back to Dolores. Maybe my daughter is. So, I'm sure she is. Oh, my God. So, Dolores, just remember, the dog loves you. Dog's good. Dog's good. You're going to hear the dog, by the way. You're going to hear the dog walking on the floor. You're going to hear the dog walking on the floor. Okay, so I don't know if you've got an upstairs or if there's a wood floor or a harder floor. You're going to hear the dog, just so you know. I thought I better give you a little heads up. Michelle. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'm totally sure he's around you. Because I was feeling a lot of impact, okay? So that makes sense what you were saying about the engine coming up and everything. And you know, the thing is with him too, tell me if this sounds correct to you, because he feels to me like he's somebody who you can count on, okay? That he's always going to be there for you. And he's got a goofy sense of humor. He'll say some interesting things sometimes, you know, that just, they're just funny, you know? It's almost like he didn't grow up in some ways about himself. And the thing is, too, and tell me if this is true. So I gave you three things to tell me if they're true. But tell me if this is true as well, because I feel, I feel that he told her at one point in their relationship, okay, good, you understand, that he would never leave her. And he meant it. Okay, he's given me the impression he told her he would never leave her, and he was going to take care of her. And I understand he did take care of her. I understand that's who he is. He's somebody who is there for her. And this is, it's, okay, he's apologizing because he's telling me that he would never have, okay, this was not his plan, okay, in this aspect of his life. You know, the physical was not his plan. He would never leave her. And he's giving me the impression that he was apologizing for leaving because he feels like he's let her down. And he understands how upset she is. He understands everything that's happening to her and how hard it is. And he's giving me the impression he's quite with her now. Okay, again, I don't want to get into the graphics and stuff. Would you happen to know if there was pressure in his head, if there was something happened that also gave him pressure in his head? Because I'm getting a very strong sense of pressure. I feel like my ears are not working right, and this is coming out, and I don't know if it's part of an impact further, and I don't mean to be graphic or anything. He fell asleep at the wheel. Okay. Ugh, poor guy. No wonder he's apologizing. That makes sense then, because he's taking responsibility for what happened. But at the same time, he's also saying no, no. He is talking about, okay. He's talking about your daughter at night, okay? And she's still in the new phase of this, okay? She's still in the new phase and in the total survival mode, okay? So he's given me the impression of her, and I don't know if you know these, but punching the pillow and screaming. And I mean literally screaming. She's doing what she can to not be loud, but at the same time. And he's watching this. He's understanding what's happening, and he's there. Now, the daughter, you said the daughter's like two or something, yes? Oh, my gosh. Look at all you people, all these people who have passed. Oh, my goodness. Yes, is your granddaughter like two? Your granddaughter? I have to make sure I'm getting this right. The younger one, isn't there? The young one. Because I'm getting the impression that, I mean, okay, this is going to sound strange, but he hasn't left. He can be in heaven, but he can still be here. He's still watching over everything. There's no question about this, okay? He's wanting to acknowledge somebody who needs to be helping her. Okay, thank you. He wants to be acknowledging somebody who is helping her, and I know you must be. And I want to be going through paperwork, okay? Have you guys started the paperwork process? I want to be going through paperwork. I need to be finding things, and it feels like financial things. I want to find financial things. And I understand, I'm not sure that he was doing like the bills and stuff. I feel like your daughter was. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what it feels like to me. But I want to be looking for paper, okay? I want to find financial things, find the financial things. She's always talking to him, good. And that's perfect, just keep going. Is she wearing his wedding ring right now? Does she have it on somewhere, necklace, hand, something? I want the wedding ring right here all day. Okay, Melissa. Oh, God, I know. Oh, yeah, so, Michelle, let me know if she's got his ring, because I want to talk about the ring. Does he have a ring, and does she have it? I feel like it's right there. There's so much love coming through, and really, there's not much else to say right at this point. Okay, good. And the ashes. Okay, good. She has the ring, because I feel like I have to have it by me as a physical reminder. And he's talking about how he's here with her. So the big message, of course, is that he loves her. He's sorry he's left. He's still here. One more thing before I move on from that is I am seeing, oh gosh, what kind of flower is this? I think it's an amaryllis. Do you happen to know daughter has an amaryllis? I'm wondering, actually, if someone's going to give her one. There's something about an amaryllis and how it blossoms. No idea what that means, but remember I said that. There may be some significance to this. There's something about this. It's the beauty of it, but it's also the new growth and things like that. Uh-huh. Right. Mm-hmm. One more thing again. Oh, not sure. That's okay. Do you happen to know if he did some Christmas shopping already? Because I want to be looking in the closet or someplace or in a drawer looking for something. I feel like there's a present or something. So keep that in mind, too. Okay. Now, who else was talking? Melissa. I could take a caller. Maybe that would be a good thing to do. I'm so sorry, caller people. people asking questions, and I got to go with what's going on and the spirits that are coming in. So interesting. Okay, that's okay. Just remember I said it. I could be wacky, but I don't think so because he's pretty strong. So I'm pretty sure that there's some connection here. It'll make sense. I know it will. He's a strong man, so he's going to take care of what he can take care of. For a few minutes, I'm going to actually take a caller. I know, shocking here. But we're going to go to 1441. That is the last four numbers of your phone number. And then if you could just tell me who you are and, you know, that kind of thing. Let's see. I pushed the button, but nothing happened. Okay, technology. Maybe it goes with my lights. Hello, how are you today?
I am awesome. How are you?
Great. And what's your name?
My name is Candace. I just love your spirit. You are just something very, very special.
Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you for saying that. It'll make my night. So how can I help you today?
This is going back to your lighthouse reference and had to like raise my vibration. And, you know, I've always been attracted to them for some weird reason, but I do feel like I'm stuck like on a ledge in a sense that I want to move forward. And I've been, you know, like waiting for something and looking for something to like lead me in the right direction so I could get off that landing and move on up. But I'm not really sure what it is. Try to look at different things.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting because, you know, I love the lighthouse reference because it's always we keep moving, we just keep walking, but every now and then we do have to do that rest where we stop for a bit and things kind of catch up with us again. And it is interesting and because I get such a sensation of you looking up. You know, looking ahead, looking where you're going. I do get that spiritual connection too, so I do want to make sure I mention that to you. I get that spiritual connection of being aware of your guidance that you do get from God, the universal energy, that kind of thing. And I am aware of that. And I'm also aware of your impressions of, you know, you also wanting to make sure you're making a difference here in this lifetime. And you want to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. It is so cool. It's kind of neat because your energy is... You're kind of a doer, aren't you? You like to do.
I am.
Yeah, you like to do
I'm
stuff
exactly and everything that you're saying. You're right. I want to do something to change the world for the better and to help people. You're right on the mark.
Yeah. And it's you, you know, that's who you are. And sometimes, because I'm kind of the same way, is we kind of get ahead of ourselves. We aren't comfortable in the uncertainty. We aren't comfortable in just letting it come to us. And that's the message I'm feeling for you, is to see where you're led and let it come to you. And it's so funny because I just wrote this down yesterday or the day before, to see where I'm led. I think that's going to be my 2019 theme. We'll see. Because it's coming to you. And, you know, here's something interesting that's coming in. All of a sudden, I am seeing a camera. Okay, like taking the pictures of cameras. Is there any significance that you can think of with cameras?
No. I have a friend who's professional, but not myself.
Okay. Not yourself. There's something with cameras. So I will always say anything that comes into my head because you just never know where it's going to go. So keep that in mind. I don't know why I'm seeing a camera, but I feel like I'm taking pictures. And I feel, and there's, you know, and of course, you know, with my lighthouse analogy, I talk about how we only get a small view, a small picture until we get to the top. So that may be connected somehow. I'm not really sure what that means, but whatever. I'll just put it out there. And becoming aware of where you're being led. And this is so interesting, too. Huh. Do you ever do any kind of automatic writing where you just write whatever comes in?
No, but I thought about it.
That might be something to try. I wouldn't do it and go right to the big question, which is, what should I do with my life? I wouldn't do that. I would start out with something small, you know, like, you know, I don't know, what is the meaning of water? You know, something like that. Or the color blue. What can you tell me about the color blue? You know, just whatever. And see what happens with that. Because I have a feeling your higher self wants to come through and give you some guidance as well. And if you're a doer, you're probably a thinker. And as we all know, when we think and do too much, we kind of disconnect a little bit from our feelings and from our inner guidance. So So doing some automatic writing, just whatever comes through will get it going for you. And you might get something that catches your interest. I also want to mention, too, something about just if something does catch your interest in the physical. You know, you're driving someplace and you see the store and you think, oh, I've never noticed that store before. Maybe I'll go someday. And then all of a sudden you're pulling into the parking lot, that there may be a connection to those things. So just follow those intuitive hits because they're going to take you where you need to go. Okay. And you might go to a certain store and you meet somebody there or you see something that leads you to something else, that leads you to something else, that leads you to something else. So it's kind of a game, actually. Oh, that's kind of interesting. Maybe I'll put that in my online course. It's kind of a game of just, it's almost like you're waiting for it to just show up and see what happens. That might be fun. Try that game and let me know how it goes.
So just follow my intuition and anything that attracts me, go for it.
Just go with it and see what happens. Just go with it. Because I can think back to over my life where I found this one book that led me to this workshop. And at that workshop, I found another book that led me to taking some other workshops doing healing work. And the healing work led me to becoming this. And then, a book led me here. Playing the violin, choosing to play the violin in fourth grade led me to where I am today, which is another story. But yes, that led me to where I am today. And so that's interesting. So you just never know what's going to lead you. Ooh, how fun. Oh, that's very exciting. I love when I get a thought and I'm excited about it. I'm writing it down. What's going to lead you? I'm writing it down so I remember I told you this. It's so cool. Okay, so Candace, I probably should stop talking to you because you know me, on and on and on. But yeah, you have fun because I get such a good vibe from you and I get such a feeling of opportunity. So I know things are coming because I can feel it. There's no question about that. So I know it's coming. So now it's a matter of just having fun while you find out what it is.
Well, hopefully sooner than later because I'm kind of getting tired and bored of waiting.
Yeah. So take action, but take action that maybe you don't think goes to that. Just take action. Just do whatever.
Okay.
And see where you end up. Yeah, it's all a game. Life is a game. So we're just going to have fun with it.
Okay. Sounds cool.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
Thanks.
It.
You
take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, it's so fun because, when I think about this, how things happen in life, we want to know what's going to happen. I'm the same way. I want to know what's going to happen. And whenever I start doing that, I start thinking ahead, get too far ahead of myself. I have to back up, get back in the present. I got to get out of my worry head. I got to get out of my thinking head and just go, you know what? It's just going to work the way it's supposed to, trusting again that process of life. Because really, do a life review. Look back over your lives. This is fun to do too. I love to have fun. I love my little games. Hi, Julie. Look back over your life and see how this step, this thing led you to this next thing, which led you to this, which led you to that. And here you are today. And you wouldn't be who you are today, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing today if you hadn't had all of those things that happened in your life. And when you think back, when I was growing up, I knew I wanted to be a violin teacher, I was going to be a music teacher, and I did that. But I didn't know I was going to be a life coach. I don't think they had life coaches then. I didn't know I was going to be, okay, good, Melissa. Is it 2765? I didn't know I was going to be doing these things. So I now look where I am. Who would have thought, that I would end up here? I had no idea. I was led this way. I didn't create this. It happened. It just happened. So I can have my plans, I can work. I keep doing my goals. I love goals. I love working on things. I love working on workshops and courses and all that stuff. I love doing that. I love working on my radio shows to figure out what I'm going to talk about and what stories I'm going to tell you. I love that stuff. But that doesn't mean that something else might pop up. Like, I didn't know I was going to do radio shows back then either. That doesn't mean something else isn't going to pop up along my life path. So we just kind of have to go with the flow. So I'm just going, Melissa, don't worry. So I'm going to do what I did last week, which is I'm going to take a call, and then I am going to just keep talking. And so when the show ends on Blog Talk, I'll still keep going. So there we go. So I'm going to go to you. I believe this is you, Melissa. Hold on. Melissa, is this you?
Yes.
Do I have you, Melissa? Okay, good. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Turned it down. Yeah, I turned you down just because of the warning from Blog Talk that I only have 60 seconds left. But I'm going to keep talking.
Okay.
So you said that... I can do whatever I want, right? So you said your friend just passed?
Right. He passed on Sunday morning about 4 o'clock in the morning. He's probably about 52.
Okay. Yeah. He's younger than I am, so we'll call that younger side. It feels like it's a surprise to me. Was it a surprise?
It really wasn't a surprise because he had gotten hurt a few years ago, and so he was paralyzed from the neck down and unable to talk.
Okay.
But he was really charismatic, and then at the last, 3 years, he was just kind of stuck in his head and
didn't do much.
Not able to communicate or anything. So it wasn't a shock, but I think I still took it as a shock because I just couldn't believe that the whole thing ever happened.
Right. Okay. And that explains what the feelings I'm getting here in my throat too. And you know, the thing with him, tell me if this sounds like him. If it doesn't sound like him, it's not him. Okay. Because it feels to me before this accident happened for him that he's talking about that other guy being kind of funny with a sense of humor. This guy has a really quick sense of humor. Does your friend have a really quick sense of humor? Like you could, he would joke about anything. And I mean anything. There is no filter here when it comes to a joke.
Oh my God.
Things could be offensive to people. And if people don't know him, they might take offense, but he is not a person that would be mean to someone. Okay. He's not a person that would, purposefully make a joke to hurt somebody. He's just quick. I mean, he's quick. He's very intelligent, too.
He thinks
at a much higher level than we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's like, I want to call him a professor because that's my stereotype that when I have somebody who's really smart, in my head, they're a professor. So that's what it is. And the thing with him, too, though, even though he's so smart and he's funny and all that, there's some passion that's in there with him. There's passion with him. He wants to, what do I want to say? He's very clear in what he believes and what he believes in. And he shares that with people. He's talking about everybody who was there for him during this time of him being paralyzed. He's talking about that and how helpful they were to him and how good they were at including him with things, you know?
That's
and people could tell what he was thinking. They could tell. He didn't, you know, it's like people just knew what he was thinking and they would answer his questions and his thoughts and stuff. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of cool. It's almost like he knows everything that's happening and people, and he can communicate it without being able to. It's really cool. This is actually really cool.
Yeah.
You
got him. That's him. All of it.
Okay.
He would still communicate. He would blink for yes and blink for no and still laugh and cry and still crack us up, even though he couldn't talk. He would just have us in tears, and I don't even know how.
It's interesting because he's got such a big personality. You know, he always has such a big personality, and even though his body has the problems, the personality's still in there. And I have to tell you right now, the feeling I'm getting from him now is, oh my gosh, you guys better be watching out because he is going to be, he's free, is what he's saying. He's free. He can do whatever he wants now. He's free, and he's so big. What a big sense about him. What a big sense of personality, all of these things. And such a feeling of, literally, I feel like I want to whip through the air. That's what I'm feeling like. And he's, are you going to be able to go to a service for him? Because I'm getting a lot of joy at this service.
Well, actually, his family lives in Chicago and I live in Louisiana, so I'm not going to be, but his mom is sending me, she's having the funeral home send me some of his ashes, and we're going we're going to go to New Orleans and have a last hurrah with his ashes. And,
that makes total sense to me.
We're planning that.
Because it feels fun. Okay, and that's probably what I'm talking about, because it feels fun to me. And there's a lot of laughter. There's a few drinks, apparently. And we're just going to
That'll be on both sides.
Yeah, and it's awesome. So that's wonderful. He's going to be a fun one. So you just talk to him as much as you want, because he's going to be somebody who is going to be very present here. There's no question in my mind. He's going to be present. So you just talk to him and you have fun, because he's talking about how much fun you can be, actually. He's giving me the impression about how fun you can be. You like to have a good time. That doesn't mean you're like this big partier, but it just means you like to have a good time. You like to enjoy your life. And he's laughing, and he's just talking about what a great spirit you are as well, and the way you respond to people and how you help people. So he's going to have fun. Oh, my gosh. He's something else. He is something. He's going to be awesome. Yeah, so don't you worry or anything. Who has the dog? I know I talked about dogs earlier, but it's a different dog. You have a dog now. Okay. Because there's a mention of a dog. Okay. And watch the dog. Watch the dog. Because the dog may see him or feel him. So pay attention to how the dog is reacting to empty air. Okay. So pay attention to the dog.
Okay.
He's saying, watch the dog. So
okay,
if the dog does something different or whatever, watch the dog.
I told him today, I was talking to him, and he's Irish, and so I was saying, you know, I was walking the dog outside, actually. I have a big 90-pound lab, and I was saying, if you're here, maybe I'll find a four-leaf clover, or give me a sign that you're here or something. So maybe that's what he's talking about is,
watch the dog. You're going to get something from the dog that's connected to him. Somehow there's going to be an awareness, something you'll see, something you'll feel, something. So just be aware of that. Very interesting.
Okay.
Well, Melissa, that was so much fun talking to him. He's a really nice guy. A lot of love for you. You must have had a really good relationship with him.
We went through some crazy stuff, but when he got hurt, there wasn't a lot of people around for him, and I was one of the people that was there for him. So,
okay,
you know.
Yeah, because it's a closeness here. That's nice. I really like it. It's kind of like he's watching over you in a sense. You know, I feel a protection energy with him. So
that's
good. Yeah, take it
for that.
You know, that's a person who would have protected you here as well. And so he would do that from the other side as well. Okay. Well, I suppose I could let you go, Melissa. It was so nice talking to you. I'm so sorry to hear about your friend passing, though, because it's so hard, isn't it? Especially at the Christmas season. It just, I don't know, it just makes it worse in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
But,
I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know if he could hear me or anything. I wanted, you know, to tell him I love him and you know. Tell him my heart.
He knows. Believe me, he knows. Spirits always know. Yeah, okay. And they do hear you. They do. They really do. And one more thing. Apparently, I'm always the one saying one more thing. One more thing. You think I'm going to end? And I got one more thing. I want to talk about the color blue. Okay. I'm going to talk about the color blue. And I don't know why, but I feel like there's some significance to blue. And I'm not saying you're feeling blue, because that's yucky. Whatever.
No.
It literally is the color. There's something about the color blue. I don't know if he loved the color blue or what's up with blue. But
well, his eyes are blue.
So
blue that they'll take your breath away.
Okay. So I'm going to take that. That's close enough. I'll take it. Okay. Well, Melissa, it was so nice talking to you. I'm so glad I got to talk to you. You have a good night.
I am so glad, too. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, let's see if I get this.
I don't know, Blog Talk's going to get mad at me for going on and on because I just keep talking and on and on. But if I have callers on, I got to keep the Blog Talk going. Okay, I'm going to watch till the end, so don't call me during it. Okay, that's you talking to your daughter. You're amazing, Colleen. Well, I don't know about that, but I try my best. Thank you for all you do. I just do my thing. Okay, so Michelle, your daughter. I'm going to hang up in a few minutes. So she's probably not going to be able to get through because I was kind of trying to read that while I was talking to her. You're welcome, Melissa. It was very nice talking to you. I don't remember much of the things I say, okay, about someone passing, but I am going to just touch in with him again for your daughter. Uh-huh. He's talking about her driving in the car. Okay, I saw that she said she was going to try to call while she's driving. Okay, he's talking about her calling and not paying attention. Okay, so make sure she's not distracted while she's driving. She's got enough on her mind not to worry about that. Okay, now I don't know that I'm not doing a show next week because it's Christmas Day, so I'm not going to. I don't know if I'm going to do it on January 1st yet or not, but I might. So maybe I'll do something like this again where, you know, you guys can, you know, connect with me on Facebook as well. And, you know, if maybe your daughter can connect with me again, like in 2 weeks from now, because I might do a show the first. I don't know. It depends on who's at my house. And we'll see. So we can do that. And she can also watch this show on Facebook. So follow me on my website is psychicmediumcolleen.com, colleenvanderzijden.com. Sign up for my emails. I don't send them out very much, so don't worry. I'm not one of those people who sends one out every day because that's obnoxious. She can do that. Follow me on Facebook, Colleen Vanderzijden, Medium and Self-Empowerment Coach. You can watch the show. You don't have to follow me to watch it, but you can see it there. And so she can watch the show and see what I did say as well, so that can help too. Okay, I have just talked and talked and talked. How far over am I? Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm having fun, though. It's fun talking to you guys. It really is. Okay, so let's see. What else do we want to say? Any Facebook questions before I hang up on my show that is going overtime? I don't see anything. That's awesome. Okay, good, because I don't want to anything weird happen. So what else do I have to tell you? So you can connect with me, ask questions, see things on my website, all that stuff. I'm so happy you guys got to see the show tonight and listen to the show. It was a fun show, I think. I enjoyed it. I hope you did too. I will, like I said, be here in 2 weeks probably. We'll see. I'll post it on my page if I'm going to be here or not. I will definitely be here the week after that. So that's January 7th or 8th, whatever it is. I will definitely be here then. And my Thursday shows are still going to continue because it's not on Christmas Day. So my Thursday show continues, but it's a little bit harder to get a phone call in that way because the way they do it, you know, the producer and everything. So Blog Talk, keep recording for another 15 minutes. I know. We'll see if they do. So Merry Christmas, everybody. Everybody who believes in Christmas and all of that. And have some fun with your families. You know, Happy New Year, because I won't see you before that either. And I am so happy to have talked to you. And all my love to all of you. All my love to you, that you have the best life, that you enjoy it as much as you can and know you have the power to do that. Do I have a gratitude prayer? You know, I don't have a specific one. You know, what I just like to do is count my blessings. That's my big thing that I do when I need to get into that. But I do have such, you know, such blessings around, you know. I mean, all of you watching and listening, and what a wonderful life I have, even with problems that we all have. Even with my problems, I look back at this year and I go, yeah, it was a pretty good year. And I'm looking forward to 2019. So maybe I'll talk about some of that stuff next time. Well, okay. Sorry. I just going on and on. I have so much to say to you, but thank you again for watching. I guess I will hang up. And you guys have a wonderful holiday and Christmas and New Year's and everything. And I will talk to you in a couple weeks, probably. Bye. Hi, I went a little overtime.